Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take it.
OB. It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay.
Gus. Hey! Hey! What's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Cut down there.
An OB show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Well, coming down to the wire, Mark. It's Bears are trailing by six with 38 seconds inside the 10.
Pretty
hard down and goal.
Hard to believe. The Bears were down 27-7 and looked basically as bad as you could possibly look. And now we've got 34 seconds to go, fourth and goal inside the 10. Bears are down six. And if Joshua Bellamy, along with a bunch of other Bears, could catch, they'd actually be in the lead. OB, how are you, sir?
That's the problem.
Catching the football.
If they could have done this, if they could have done that, you know.
They still got one more chance.
If they had the right game plan.
Everything.
If guys weren't dropping a ball left and right all over the place, it never ends.
I mean,
maybe they can pull us one out. We'll see right now.
I mean, but look, this is it. This is the last play of the game, basically. It's fourth and goal. You have to score here or you lose. It's that simple. Ooh. And here comes the pressure. Incomplete.
Yeah, so
Bears lose.
You got to give them credit for battling back.
Or is this the Tennessee Titans just taking them for granted? You know what? You're right. Let's give them credit for battling back.
I mean, a little bit of something.
Barkley, I don't even know his first name.
Matt Barkley.
Matt Barkley, Mark Barkley, whatever. Fourth string quarterback. At one time was considered one of the top prospects going into the pros at SC.
Yeah.
Really played well today, Ed. He threw the ball as good as you can.
Glenn, that kid came out of high school like he was the next, Tom Brady or somebody. And he went to Southern Cal, and he did okay. And then I think the Eagles drafted him, and he's been hanging around for 4 years. But I'll tell you, what I actually saw him, this is the first game he ever started. What I saw of him, I kind of liked what I saw.
Well, he made a.
He threw the ball downfield.
Yeah, how about that, folks? Let me tell you what. The first play, what do? We go downfield to Wilson, 33 yards. And we come back in the first quarter and go downfield again, which I've said 100 times. Throw the ball downfield. If the guy doesn't catch it, they can throw a flag. It's interference, whatever. And it was an interference call, and we got 45 yards on that. And then for the rest of the second half, we abandoned it. What we did, we went over the middle, skinny post. Very seldom did we try to stretch the field again, which is something that I totally and completely don't understand. And one other thing, defensively, for you people that follow the game religiously and are very close and tape it, all you have to do, what I want you to do, is go look at the tape. Watch our defensive line. Watch the two down inside linemen. And take a look at their stance on first down and second down. I couldn't believe it. Dan Hampton couldn't believe it. Nobody could believe it.
I couldn't believe it, and we didn't
folks,
even talk to each other.
They were sitting there, and they were. If the two defensive inside guys leaned back any further, they'd have fell over on their backs. And guess what? What did they do? All they had to do was come, because you don't have to push those guys anywhere. All you got to do is position block, hit them, turn them, and bang. They were going up the middle. If you remember the plays, but look at that stance, and you mean to tell me? We have a defensive coordinator. We have a defensive line coach, an assistant defensive line coach, and they can't pick that up? That's unbelievable. You don't play football in this league like that.
No, and quite
Dan, you saw it.
Yeah, and you know what, folks, and you're saying, okay, they lost the game. Well, we're ranting about something as trivial as the defensive lineman. Well, it's not trivial. It's fundamentals that they put you in a position where you can compete and win. And you know what? There's a reason why we lost the game today. We basically could not get any sustained pass rush on Marcus Mariota. Kaz, this kid's pretty good. We talked about it, you know, the last couple of weeks that, you know, he's one of those kind of kids that can, you know, he can run and pass and hurt you. But guys, today, you know, I there's got to, you know, and again, we're gonna kind of beat on the drum of this coaching staff. They didn't have the team ready back in September. We're still not ready. Did you see how many drops? And then the final play of the game, it was a catchable pass that was dropped once again.
Our two inside down linemen. Why Mariota was throwing the ball all over the place, you really didn't see him running and helter-skelter the first half. The reason why our two inside D linemen couldn't push him back. They would snap. They're sitting back on their haunches at the snap of the ball. They raise straight up and hand fight the guards and center. What do you think? That's what they want you to do. And we're talking, this is the 11th game. That is real stupid football. Stupid.
312-981-7200. That's the phone number. It's Hamp and OB with Kaz. We're presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Start of the show, sponsored by Martin Chevy, also sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Dan Wiederer of the Tribune is tweeting out, the Bears had 10 drops today via their count, including two in the end zone on the potential game-winning drive. Joshua Bellamy dropped one of them.
In his chest.
Pathetic.
Here's the problem. Pathetic. If your wide receiver coach doesn't work with you catching with your hands
or demand you to do it correctly in practice.
Right. Then you're going to reach and have your arms open and let it bounce off your chest. And this is, my goodness, this is what you teach little 8-10-year-old potential little kid football players to do. You know, and these guys are supposed to be pros, Ed.
This is the highest league you could play in. Not unless there's another league on Mars or Pluto or somewhere. I got to tell you what. Guess what a receiver at this level does. He has one thing. What's his job?
Catch the ball.
Catch the damn football. I don't want to hear any excuses. 10 drops. 10 in 4 quarters. And we're supposed to win a football game? We got defensive linemen sitting back in our haunches like we're supposed to rush the passer. Are you kidding me?
I mean, in the fourth quarter, Marquise Wilson had a very good day. But
it's not taking anything away from him, but he also dropped a touchdown pass.
He dropped a touchdown pass in the corner of the end zone.
He dropped several passes, too. Mark, they're paid to catch the damn football.
OB,
okay?
Listen,
it's not batted away. This game isn't called bat the ball away.
You know, Dan asked a simple question. He said, hey, Kaz, how many passes did any of the wide receivers that you played with dropped? And I said none, because we wouldn't keep our jobs. I mean, there was a time in the National Football League where if you dropped the ball, you didn't get to come back the next week. Now those days clearly are gone, because apparently, you know, everybody drops it.
I tell you, even in practice, when you're in training camp and we'd look over and we see that, you know, a 7-on-7 drill or whatever passing drill they'd be doing, the guys are dropping a ball, we would let them have it right in practice. Catch the damn ball right in practice and training camp.
Yep.
Well, looking at the stats, you know, Cameron Meredith, you've got Alshon on his hiatus, and you've got Kevin White doing whatever he's doing. We need these young receivers to step up. Cameron Meredith was targeted 9 times today, 9 times, and only came up with 2 catches.
That's impressive.
And
that's a lot of drops.
You know, we haven't even mentioned. I don't know if you guys would give a passing grade to Matt Barkley, but I'm just saying, all in all, he made a lot of really good throws today, and he gave us a great chance to win. And another point here. You know, last week, Dow Loggins had no counter. We played checkers. They played chess. They put 8 in the box and dared us to throw the check down. We had Jordan Howard in. He couldn't catch it. Well, today, we did some things on offense. Early in the game, I heard you talk about that, Ed, going down the field. But in the second half, we were able to make some adjustments, and we started, you know, throwing at will against their zone. And those are things that are positive. But I don't know, you know, Johnny Unitas can't throw the ball much better than Barkley did to some of these receivers. They have got to catch the ball.
Well, the other thing is here, Dan, you look at the stats, and we're talking about 10 drops. I do not recall when, and that includes Cutler. The last time, what did we hit? 10 different receivers, 10 or 11 different receivers, folks. That 9 we've hit a couple of times, but when you hit that and you spread it around, that's pretty good football.
we threw the ball to 11 different receivers. 9 caught them.
Here's the problem, though. I mean, if you just count the 10 drops, and I think they were higher than 10, he completes 38 of 54 instead of 28 of 54. Wilson had a good day. He had 8 receptions, but he was targeted 11 times. That means he dropped it 3 times, right? For all intents and purpose.
Right.
He Bellamy was targeted 9 times. He caught 4 passes. That means he probably dropped it 4 times.
And the thing about it, he dropped balls that were right, bang, perfect, right in his hands.
Right.
Matt Barkley threw 2 touchdown passes on the final drive. In beautiful throws.
Yeah, good throw it.
In the last play of the game, it was he threw it at the only spot that receiver could catch it. Receiver doesn't catch it.
And I promise you that I would say that at least 95% of high school wide receivers would have caught the first one. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, and I was going to say this. You know, here we are. We've got all of our chips in the basket of Alshon and Kevin White. Because he's, you know, these younger receivers, come on. If they're going to be a playmaker, they had to stand up today. We need it. Every college game I watch, there's 2-3 different receivers flying around the field, catching everything that's thrown at them. Where are these guys? We don't want anybody that can catch it?
Well, and I'll go back to this, and this is the real issue. Let's go through, and we'll do this over the next 3 hours, but we've got coaches, because it's pretty simple. I mean, number one, when you drop that many balls – as a wide receiver, running back core, those 2 coaches shouldn't be on the staff anymore.
Yeah, by the way, Glenn, and for our listeners out there, they just didn't start dropping balls in this game.
They've been doing it.
That's been going in practice and all year. Right. You can make book on that one.
Right. This week on Chicago's Best, whether it's Memphis or Texas style, Elliott is smoking all the meats. It's Chicago's Best Barbecue, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Phone number, you want to jump in. Hamp and OB with Kaz on 720 WGN and CLTV till 4 is 312-981-7200. The Bears fall to the Tennessee Titans 27-21 at somewhat empty, at least at times, Soldier Field. The Bears now 2-9. Coming right back on 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Also, CLTV until 4 o'clock. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Bears fall 27-21 to the Tennessee Titans. They dropped 2 balls in the end zone in the final minute. They would have won the football game. Hey, Hamp, do you remember when you played with Tom Waddle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Tom Waddle tweeting out.
I remember him.
I remember him now. He didn't remember when he first got there.
It's a great story.
It's halfway through the year, and a limo guy goes, "How's Waddle doing?" I goes, "We don't have nobody on our team named Tom Waddle."
Well, it was when they first came out with the practice squad, and I'll never forget. I mean, Tommy used to sit by me, and I mean, that first year, all Tom would do is, you know, he would practice, get beaten up, and then no reward. And Dan remembered him after that because there was a Saturday where he caught everything in sight, and Ham goes, "Is that Waddle?" And they're like, "Yeah, that's him." He's like, "Man, he's pretty good."
Yeah, let's phrase you said, "I've never seen him drop a pass." what did he have to say about this debacle?
He said on Twitter just now, tweeted out, I have never seen a game played at any level. At any level, let's let that sink in for a second, with that many drop passes by one team, period, ever, period.
He's right.
I mean, that was incredible. I mean, if you're going to be bad, be really, really bad. That was really bad.
That's a problem. And, Ed, you and I talked about it. Look, if your receiver core from top to bottom, because there was 11 guys that had passes thrown at them, so that includes running backs and tight ends. But if you drop that many passes as a group, you can't fire the entire group. But you know what you can fire? You can fire the wide receiver coach, the tight end coach, and the running back coach, because this is unacceptable when across the board guys can be that incompetent.
Okay.
Across the board, all of them.
Well,
here's the point. If, okay, we have, what, 5 games remaining. If Fox retains his job, I guarantee you, either offense or defensive coordinator is gone. Both of them are gone. Or I'll guarantee you one of them is gone. I'll tell you who else is gone. The receivers coach and the defensive line coach. Those guys would be on the first airplane out of this town. Period.
Curtis Johnson coaches the wide receivers. Frank Smith coaches the tight end.
That's what they think.
Well, they don't coach him, though. Clearly, when you drop that many balls.
Stan Drayton coaches the running backs.
Well, look, the other thing, Jordan Howard, first series of the game, they throw a screen that hits him in his chest. He catches, he turns it into a 19-yard gain. They throw a screen that's a little high, he drops it. Now they run him out in the flats on third down.
Yeah.
And a walk-in touchdown, even I could have walked in and scored at that point. He drops it again. So, I mean, you know, why is he put in that position a week after he proved he can't catch a cold?
Well, here's the problem.
Great runner.
We could go back the last week, the week before, the week before, the month before, that. And I don't want to go over it again, but this started, folks, a long, long time with real bad personnel moves and this coaching staff not having this team to start a 16-game schedule. And there's no denying that. And problem, what you saw here today, gentlemen and our listeners, it's the same thing. It's it started out that way, and here's what it is again. This afternoon, and guess what? You're going to go the following week. And by the way, okay, we're playing teams that don't have winning records. Okay?
Well, Titans are 500 now, but okay.
Yeah. Well, in the games, it's not like we're losing to...
But they had to beat us to get to 500, I might add.
I get it. Hey, let's do your guy, the Mueller game-changing moment, OB. It's sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Highland Park, Gurnee, Hoffman Estates, and Merrillville. Which drop would you like to pick as the game-changing moment?
How about
moment?
The first interception that Barkley threw in the end zone? I mean, that was late and had no... Hey, okay, the kid was put in a very unenviable position. Coming in, Cutler, you know, now out with the shoulder. Okay, he's got backup receivers, backup offensive linemen, backup third, fourth, fifth string tight ends. So it wasn't like he was going in with the A-team. But all that being said, how many times you heard this, have you told your quarterback this in the red zone, Cause, don't ever throw the ball across the middle of the field late. Middle of the field late, never, ever. And that's the first and at that point, we would have tied the game. Instead, they take the ball. They go down and score. Now we're in a hole we never got out of.
Dan, I beg to differ with you on that one. If we get down in the red zone, I don't care where. Throw it in the end zone. Every play after play after play, we're a horrible football team. We get down there and we throw three-yard outs. I mean, you got to be kidding me, folks.
Yeah, at least he threw it into the end zone.
Yes, at least throw the damn ball into the end zone. Act like you know what you're doing.
And that's what Barkley did do today, even though he had a couple.
Yes, he did.
And the second pick was a bad pick, too, because he tried to lead the receiver, and the guy undercut him. And, you know, it was a double coverage throw, which, again, you throw it out of the end zone. I'll give him a pass on that. It's his first start in 4 years. So I'll give him a pass on those. He still threw enough of them, including the Bellamy drop and debacle that wins this game, and we're talking a whole other, you know, it's a whole different
everybody's tone. Happy we win 28-27 depending on the field goal, but back that was really that from that point on. I was over at the stadium, you could tell that was the point where everybody goes, oh yeah, we just got another Jay Cutler, you know, idiot throwing the ball into the end zone and getting intercepted.
Hey, we'll get to your calls coming up right after the news here, but I when we come back here, I think there was one play today where we got to give John Fox his due. One of the great, I think maybe is the best call that he's ever had all season long. I'm going to let that's a tease. I'm going to leave it out there for after the news. You good with that, OB?
That's fine. I'm fine. That's
okay.
Good.
Okay, cool. Trust is everything. It's golden. Kaz wants to beat me up. For your insurance needs, it's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich. Hamp.
Vuk!
JeffVuk.com, serving our area for 38 years nationwide, is on your side. JeffVuk.com. We'll get to your calls right after the news. And hey,
quickly, before we go, I just want to say something about Barkley.
Go ahead.
I never expected this kid to have that much, to be that calm, that under control for four quarters. When they were blitzing the hell out of him, that kid stayed in there.
Took some shots.
And I'm going to tell you what, he impressed the hell out of me.
All right. 312-981-7200. He was a big-time talent at one point. 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
We just spent the break talking about Ben Braunacker. OB, that's your guy. Ben Braunacker.
He would not be my guy. He would not be on this team. The reason why we're talking about
but
him,
he's a
folks,
smart guy.
It was like in the second quarter, and we're in the red zone, and he does. I think it was basically a slide hook pattern,
right?
And bam, Barkley fires it right in there, and the kid there's a guy coming, and he knows he's coming, and he doesn't step up. He doesn't step up and try to catch it or fight for the ball, or if it's so bad, tackle that guy so he doesn't intercept it. Okay. He did nothing but sit there. Now, let me go back to dropping passes again. I guarantee you that's not the first time that's happened, Glenn.
No question about it.
You know, when you're a receiver, that's one of your jobs, boy. If that ball looks like it's going to be intercepted, you go after it, knock it down, fight it, do whatever you can. This guy did absolutely nothing. And you wonder why we won, what, two games?
And he didn't know any better. And that's something that should be a fundamental of football as a wide receiver. You always come back to the quarterback. And sometimes, you know, look, if you got to go third down and
you're 10. You're exactly correct.
And you run a 12-yard route and you have to keep coming back before the quarterback throws it to you, you keep coming back. I mean, that's your job. Even if you come up short, you got the right depth, quarterback was late, you keep coming back because catching the damn thing is more important than anything else.
Absolutely, because obviously he's number one or maybe number two target. So you're the guy. You're the outlet. You're the release.
Just so you know, Braunacker, this guy
Braunacker,
right? He went to Harvard. He's
a smart guy. We should get him right to his residency now.
He's an expert in infectious disease control. I mean, I'd like to have somebody like that on my side is all I'm saying.
Well, can he stop the injury bug? We had 18 guys on the injury list.
That's a very fair question, Ham.
Did you realize what you just said?
Hey, Mark,
yes.
You know what, though?
Braunacker knows infectious diseases. How many guys on the Bears know that?
Well, guess what? He should pursue that career.
Yeah, he should be
a
resident right now pursuing it. And that's not taken away from his dream. I mean, look, he's a young guy, rookie. But these are things that you have to figure out, and you should know by now.
And hey, the coach, and you should have figured it out a long time before you got here. Again, this is about football, about somebody's not their career when the days are over with and whatever have you. It's talking about winning. You got people out there cold as hell, cheering on the Bears, doing whatever for I don't know how many decades now, forever it seems like, since day one. Obviously, we started the league. And to see things like this happening in the 11th game, and you tell me we're being coached up?
No.
We're being coached up. When you got people doing this stuff, that just didn't happen today.
312.
I've got two brothers that should be fired immediately. That's the Roger boys. I mean, Jay and whatever his brother's name is, special
Jeff.
Team. Goodbye. I mean, couldn't wait to get him out of Dodge because the D-line is horrific and the special teams have been horrific all season.
You know what? I think we have some talent on that defensive line, but to sit there, Dan, you got to jump in on this, to sit there and watch these guys 6'5", 320, 340, sitting back on their haunches, and if it's first down, second down, you know they're going to run a switch up the middle, a trap or whatever, and all they got to do is turn you. Because you're not making a move. You're not down low. You're not going forward to screw up whatever can happen. You're not getting penetration. Unbelievable, folks.
There are no position to maintain control through leverage and delivering a blow. Basically, it's like a woman squatting down, putting her hand on the ground, and then at the snap, they stand up and catch the block rather than delivering the blow and creating a new line of scrimmage a yard beyond where the ball was snapped. Those are basic fundamentals of defensive line play. We haven't got it.
The basic fundamentals on a defensive line play, or if you're a blitzing backer or safety, the basic thing on that defensive line is get penetration. That'll blow everything up instead of sitting on your haunches and getting blocked and getting turned.
Who Lit It Up? Sponsored by Nika IBEW. Clearly not the defensive line. Local 134 Chicago, your complete energy solutions provider. Who do you want to give the Lit It Up to?
I would say Matt Barkley.
You want to go Matt Barkley?
Mark. But yeah, Matt Barkley, 28 completions, 10 drops, so really 38 for 54. 316 yards, three touchdowns.
There's got to be
he
more
had two
than
bad.
He,
well, I know. I believe that too. And then you know he had two bad interceptions, but still he did enough, including the last two passes he threw of the day to win this game for the Bears.
He could have won it and should have won it if there was any competency among the receivers catching the ball.
Yep.
312-981-7200. You want to jump on in? Don in Niles wants to talk about the receivers, and he's Don.
Phone reading too, huh?
Don, you're getting a call.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Other phone. Anyway, big fan of you guys all. You know, you guys played football when men were men. This Matt Barkley, he should start for the rest of the year. That's my first comment.
He is. He is.
But also, you know, we had Eddie Royale in the backfield catching kickoffs. I mean, and he's our best receiver. So this is just another example of the coaching staff not knowing what they're doing because they got their best receiver. Bellamy should have been probably yet back there catching the kickoffs. And also, all our linebackers are injured, and Timo is nowhere to be seen. Am I the only one that thinks that?
He came in late. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, actually, you know, Jarrell Freeman now has a three-game suspension that he had set out today. Danny Trevathan, who fought back with a bad broken thumb, came back after 2 weeks, started today with Kwiatkowski. But John Timu, and we talked about it at length last year, this was the first clue I had that told me that maybe – Ryan Pace isn't making all the decisions because Timu was a free agent, and yet he was the best inside linebacker we had last year. He never got a chance to touch the field until week 12. So something was going on behind the scenes keeping that fraud, Shea McClellan, on the field. So all that being said, now they go out and they sign two really good players, but in the fourth quarter, neither one was on the field, meaning Freeman and Trevathan. So, yes, John Timu, he should start. Looked like to me that Trevathan hurt his knee real bad today. He limped off and needed some help.
Yeah, that did not look good coming off. What's thought? Yeah.
Don, let me just address Don. I hope you're still listening. Let me tell you something, Don. What you're seeing here this entire year, okay, and what is – I mean, sometimes the players – is it their fault? Sometimes maybe it's not. But we're at the point now, who cares? I don't care anymore, okay? But there's one thing that rings true, Don, that rings true. These kids are not coached properly. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind. What's a priority and how to get the priority done? Make it fulfilled. We don't. And where does it fall? You can't pick up numbers or do this somewhere or, you know, blame the Republicans, the Democrats. You got to look straight at the coaches, Mark. That's where it is. How the hell can you be in the 11th game? We're dropping 10-plus balls. We got guys that can't even cross the line of scrimmage, and we're supposed to win a football game? Give me a break.
Almost. And you know what, in a left-handed complimentary kind of way, for us to even be in some of these games being so poorly coached, think about it. We were in this. We had a chance to win it. And last week against the Giants, we were in that game. We let it half. We've been in so many games. And so our quality of talent may not be as bad as what everybody is saying, but ultimately simple things like catching the ball, getting in the proper stance, a tight end not clipping somebody on a kickoff, all these things that happen over and over and over again. And Don made a great point. You know, here we are. We go out and sign Eddie Royal, and he's a rumor. Nobody ever sees him do anything anymore. And so at some point, you know, they need to make some better evaluations of the players. But sooner or later, you got to throw the coaches in front of the oncoming
and
train.
And we've been saying week one, we've been saying this.
No, that's it. It falls on them. Listen, these guys can't find a hole big enough or small enough or wide enough and anywhere in this country to hide in.
312-981-7200. Let's get another call in here. John in Sleepy Hollow wants to give credit to Matt Barkley. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I do. I called in a couple weeks ago and talked about after Jay's first half inept four turnovers, we should have brought Barkley in. And you guys said, well, for $8 million, we're keeping Jay. But if you got a Ferrari and a Chevy in the garage and the Ferrari don't run, our Chevy did pretty good today.
Yeah, no question about it, but he still threw two you know, tough picks. But you're right. For a first-time start in 4 years, he actually was outstanding.
Yeah, thank you for the call, John.
Yeah, hey. Johnny, I agree with what he said. Listen, if they're not going to have Cutler back, all right, and they've got to get rid of him, but I don't know where we're going to go and find somebody that can take you to the Super Bowl. And, by the way, that's why you play this damn game. Okay?
You're supposed to, anyway.
That's absolutely correct.
By the way, John must have had the Black Friday sale price. Cutler's making $14 million this year.
Yeah, so was that the
I thought he's making $18 million. But here's the thing.
40% off.
One thing that I saw, and we all agree here, Matt Barkley, I think he's a keeper. I don't think we have to go for a backup, or whatever have you. We've got this kid. He showed that he can move the team. He shows that he can move in and out of the pocket. That's a plus.
And he's not afraid to throw the ball down the field, which I like most of all.
Well, by the way, you know, there's certain things that, like, you know, in a movie character, a guy that will whack you, never even bat an eye. He has no conscience. This kid throws the ball like he don't care.
Yep.
Maybe that's what led him almost out of the league, but there was a certain quality to him just rearing back and throwing it.
Well, hold on a second.
The quality is that this guy's a keeper.
Well, hold on. I want to follow up on that coming back here after the timeout. When you say keeper, what exactly you mean by that?
He's on the team. We don't have to come back.
Give him
more opportunities. I'm answering your question now. You keep a kid like this. From what I saw today.
As in a starter or as a backup?
I just said a backup. You weren't listening to me.
Well, you said on the team. I'm just wondering, because this huge question will be after the season, what are they going to do at quarterback?
I just thought I went through that.
Are you going to keep Cutler?
Well, if you don't keep him, you got to find somebody with that. With that Super Bowl quality, he's going to take you there. But what I'm saying is you got to have a backup. This kid, for starting his first game, I thought he played a whale of a game, hell of a game.
And if you don't fix the offensive line, you better get about two more of them, too. Because we've had three quarterbacks busted up because of your offensive line, OB. By the way, Paul Harvey, you had a tease last time after the news, and you forgot to tell us what you were going to tell us.
It was brilliant what John Fox did.
We'll leave that out there again, Paul Harvey.
A double tease?
We'll do it on the next one. John Fox had his most brilliant moment of the season. I'll pay it off right when we come back. 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OP Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
All right, you ready for it here, team?
Okay, the Fox move of the century, yes.
21-7, the Bears go to the locker room at the half. They come out. You're expecting nothing. And out of nowhere, Connor Barth with the no-look onside kick to start the second half. The Bears out of nowhere getting aggressive. They recover the onside. And, of course, they ended up throwing a pick and didn't score. But that, I think that's his best move in 2 years.
Yes, it was. But here's the problem with it, though. It didn't really catch them off guard. They just linebacker botched the recovery. He attacked it too soon. The rules in the NFL, you could wait to 10 yards and catch the ball without getting hit. You know, so again, they just made the mistake, but it worked. I'll give you credit on the fact that it was pretty gutsy, because you were looking at another score from Tennessee if they didn't do that.
It was the first time that he acted like he had nothing to lose, which he does have absolutely nothing to lose. That's why I liked it. And by the way, it's half tongue-in-cheek here. I mean, it's an onside kick.
No, it was, but you're right. That's something he hasn't done all year.
Well, it's a shame that we have to revert to trick plays to win a football game. That's number one.
I will tell you, Ed, though, as a coach, I'd do it all day long if I could win a game, just so you know.
That's why we're on the radio show.
Always, I'd keep doing it. If I thought I could win the game, I'm going to do trick plays all day long.
That's why you're here on the radio show.
No, but you would like it, because you would say, at least the guy's trying to win. That's what we're trying to say here, right?
All right, let's give one to Glenn, then.
You got a very tough
No, Mark, actually. It's Mark we're giving credit to.
Thank you. Thank you, team. This is a tough one for you guys. The defensive star of the game. Brought to you by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. No one jumps off the page to me.
You know, like I said, I was there on the sideline. I was watching Tracy Porter quite a bit early, and, you know, he didn't give up anything catastrophic. But, you know, again, the thing about Mariota is that one run where he faked the read option and took off for, right, what was it, like 30 yards. He, you know, he's smart. He doesn't take a beating, but he knows when to take his shots. So, you know, I don't think anybody on our defense played with astounding results by any stretch. But you know, Tracy Porter, he's been a little bit in the doghouse this year. I wouldn't have a hard time with him. What do you think, Cos?
No, I'd agree. I think he's been the most consistent player. The only guy, in my opinion, that has played throughout the entire season with a ton of injuries. And, I mean, this guy keeps going out there and he keeps battling and really approaches it like a pro. The one guy that has become a real disappointment to me, and I keep waiting for him, is Amos. Now, he's into his 28th game now as a starter. Not one interception. And he's probably dropped three in the last 2 weeks,
yeah,
that are duck. You know, a couple of them are touchdowns if he can make the play. At some point, he has to take that next step in converting. You know, just tipping the ball is one thing, Ed. If you're going to play for a long time, you got to catch the damn thing, too. Like you did in that the World Championship game against the Giants, right?
Yeah,
one-handed grab.
You got an hour? I'd like to tell you about it.
if you watch the highlight on it, it's a spectacular catch, something our guys couldn't do today.
Receiver. By the way, you know, this is really just an embarrassingly bad comparison, but you know that we are dead last in the NFL in turnover takeaways. We've only gotten eight all year, and we're dead last in scoring. Now, that is just – I mean, they work almost hand in hand, but ultimately, that tells me you're not a very smart team and you're not a well-coached team.
Right.
Because you don't know how to play the game on the edges where you force turnovers, where you make big plays, where you score a lot of points. Right. We still haven't scored 24 points. We played 11 games – we haven't scored 24 points. Today, the Saints scored 28 in the first half.
If they had caught the football today, they would have had that 24, Hamp.
Yeah, they'd had 28 in the win.
If candy and nuts.
Right.
You know that all the
Christmas
stuff.
Christmas would be every
all
day.
All the stuff here that we're talking about. Mark, Dan, Glenn, myself. And, you know, we talk about the receivers. We talk about the running backs, the tight ends. The offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, we talk about it all. There's one thing, folks, that stand out on this team. Poorly coached football team.
312-981.
Poorly coached football team. And by the way, I'd like to talk about Pace in the next segment. That's our general manager. It started with him this year, making bombastic, dumb moves.
Coming back right after 4 o'clock with the news. Thank you to our friends at CLTV. We're with you on 720 WGN until 6 o'clock. And, yes, if you are on hold, we will get to your calls in the next segment as well. You want to dial us up, feel free, 312-981-7200. Bears fall to the Titans, 27-21. The record now, 2-9. This is 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Tennessee 27, Bears 21. Bears are 2-9. I'm Mark Carman. This is Hamp and OB with Kaz. We're presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. OB, before the 4 o'clock news, you said you had a thought or two on the Bears' general manager, Ryan Pace?
Yes, it'll be very quick. It all started in the draft, in the second round. And by the way, we needed a tight end. We got rid of Bennett, our big tight end. And in the second round, what do? We draft a kid that played offensive tackle in college. We draft him to play left offensive guard. And then the opening game of the season, where do they start him? They start him at center, a position he's never played before. Number two, Slauson, our big offensive guard and center. He could play either. Super Bowl quality guy, Super Bowl quality effort. And what do? We get rid of him. He's in San Diego. You had Kyle Long and Slauson, two of the best interior linemen in the league. And what do you do, Pace? You blow it up. You blow it up, pal. We got a kid playing center who, I don't know, everybody seems to think he's doing a hell of a job. There's a few people in this room. That kid is struggling. He's struggling. So that's my point. In the draft, we needed a tight end. We needed a safety. We needed a cornerback. We didn't get him. We draft a kid who plays offensive tackle. We draft him to play left offensive guard, and he winds up starting the first game in the National Football League at center, where he never played the position before. And we're supposed to win with that common sense, that football sense?
And what compounds the whole issue is he creates a position that of need so he can go and draft it when he had the position basically handled for easily the next 3 years with Slauson. We all agree on this. But again, I'm starting to get whiffs of maybe Ryan Pace isn't the guy that is making some of these calls. That Ryan Pace, somewhat neutered power, has not been able to fulfill some of the thrust of what he's trying to accomplish. But your point is dead on. And you know what? If I'm a general manager and I not only acquiesce and allow Fox or whoever the hell is trying to pull this you know idiot move, then I don't know. I'd resign. I would not go along with it. But ultimately, you see, and this Cody Whitehead, he's not a bad kid. We like him. I mean, hey,
Whitehair was put in a position he never should have been in. That
exactly.
Position, Dan.
I mean, he'd be a great neighbor. He could mow my grass anytime. I don't care. But here's the thing: we had a killer named Slauson that they basically gave him the gate to create a position of need that now superseded getting the tight end, getting a safety, getting a corner. It's ridiculous.
And he is the best lineman on the San Diego Chargers right now.
Right now.
And Slauson. They are 5-6 and making the great comeback that
beat
the
Houston.
Chargers usually
so
do.
You see, you see what's happening, folks.
But
here,
wait a minute. Wait. Hey, he went his first, Ryan Pace's first bold move was signing McPhee. McPhee, the people I talked to, Baltimore couldn't wait to unload him. They knew he had a bad knee, a knee that was not going to be repairable. It was going to be chronic from then on. We now see it. The guy's basically a non-factor this year after missing all of preseason and the first 5 weeks of the season this year. So what does he do in an effort to cover up and put deodorant on the fact that his signing, his big signing of Pernell McPhee is kind of a bust out? He has to go and draft his kid, Leonard Floyd, to replace him as an outside linebacker. So a lot of these moves are contrived and very foolish when you look at the overall health of this football team.
Dan, bingo. I agree with you 100%. When you, folks, when you go, let's turn to the offense for a second here, Glenn. Please jump in on this one. I tell you this, folks. You go to training camp. I mean, these kids in the exhibition games, you got to play them. You got to play them. You got to get ready. Okay? What is the number one thing in a passing game between the quarterback and the receiver? The number one thing, folks, is timing. That is it. Timing. Whether it's an out, a hook, a fly, a skinny post, a deep post, whatever it is, it's all about timing. You are not going to get your timing down in training camp going 7-on-7 with nobody touching you. You get your timing down in the 4 exhibition games because the reason why you play 4 exhibition games is to get ready, your timing down in the passing game, in the blocking game, in the running game to play 16 games. We did nothing. Nothing.
312-981-7200. Yeah. Kazi.
No, that's true. Let's get to the calls.
Okay, start of the 4 o'clock hour, sponsored by Martin Nissan and also sponsored by Parent Petroleum.
Hey, what's the question?
Let's move along.
That would be Pete Mancini.
Let's see here. Well, speaking of training camp, Carl in North Riverside has a point on that. So welcome to 720 WGN. Carl, go ahead.
How you doing? I got a question for Ed. He was talking about the coaching staff and everything else, and you just guys hit on it with the injuries. What about the conditioning coach? You've got 18 people on injured list. You've got 2 on PED suspensions. nobody else seems to be totally injured in the league. And what's happening with the Bears with these injuries?
Well, Carl, I could tell you, there's a guy, George, a Perry, and an Igo. Those are our strength and conditioning coaches. We don't have one. We don't have two. We have three.
Yep.
Okay? Three. I know he won't be thrilled about this, but let me kick it up another step. We have 18 position coaches. Okay, folks? 18. We have a line coach. We have an assistant line coach. We have an assistant line coach, offensive line coach. So with Fox, that'd be 19 people. But in the conditioning department, three.
Three people
yep. in the conditioning department. So you're wondering, what the hell are they doing? Guess what, pal? So are we.
Thank you.
You got it. Jason, George, Rick, Perry, and Pierre Nagot.
This is priceless. We've got a special teams coach, Kaz.
And an assistant.
Hold it. There's one more. Yeah, there's another one behind. There's the special teams coach, the assistant, and then there's the assistant to the assistant.
I've never seen such pillaging in my life. These guys, they're robbing the bank up there. And to get what we get for 20 coaches, 20 NFL coaches on this team, and this is what we get to watch, 2-9?
How about I like the fact there's a linebackers coach and an outside linebackers coach.
Well, in a 3-4, you have four linebackers, so you want to have inside backers, outside backers.
So
not uncommon in a 3-4. The 3-4 defense.
But yeah. The linebacker coach, can only coach two of the linebackers?
Well, it's inside-outside. You're doing more stunts with the inside guys in games, and it's just something they've always done.
Well, do we need a separate coach for each cornerback? You got the right cornerback. Yeah. You got the left cornerback.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, they do have an assistant defensive back coach. So to answer your question, yeah, they have two. They have the defensive back coach and assistant defensive back coach.
What does defensive quality control do? What does Sean Desai do?
He does whatever they tell him to do.
Well, he picks up the pizza. Let me just say this.
I can tell you what he does. Hold on. Let me jump in here. What he does, he has some people under him. Normally what they do, not unless it's been changed recently, they are the guys that break down. Like the team they're going to play the following week, Mark,
yeah.
They are the guys that go the prior 3 weeks and break down, save defensively. They break down all the offensive tendencies for the prior three games, and then they bring it to the defensive coordinator, and that's how they set their game plan.
Did you see the picture they put of John Fox up on the screen? Pamp, you were out there today, so maybe you missed it.
I didn't see it. I saw him
when
10
he was
feet
young,
away.
Young,
I
young.
I looked the other way.
They showed young John Fox with the long hair. It looked like he was coming straight out of Woodstock. It was unbelievable. His eyes were like completely burnt. And I'm like, he might not be thrilled with that picture being shown. I mean, it literally looked like he had just come off an all-nighter.
He'd been hanging out with Bill Clinton all night. Hey, let me just say this. One guy, maybe, hey, we give an attaboy when there's need. And I've always said that, you know, I like Vic Fangio an awful lot. Some of the things he does puzzles the hell out of many. How can he keep a defensive line coach that allows the defensive lineman to get in these stances? We've already beat that horse up.
That's unbelievable.
But here, Dave Ragone, the quarterback's coach. Think about this, okay? When Hoyer came in, he actually moved the team up and down the field. And then today, Barkley comes in, 1 week of practice. When he played a month ago up in Green Bay, virtually no practice time. Hoyer was hurt, and boom, he had to go in. And again, Barkley did not look that ill-prepared today.
Yeah.
So we got to give an attaboy to Dave Ragone, the quarterback's coach.
Yeah, he's had to work with three different quarterbacks and got all three of them ready.
Not only that, but 14 different receivers that can't catch.
Well, yes, that's the other hard part.
Let me tell you something. If they were due diligent and knew what the hell they were doing when it started in the off season and when they went into training camp to get in condition and the exhibition season, they can't dodge. They can't hide that at all, folks.
On that note, it's time now for Who Brought It. That is sponsored by your Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois card. You know what to bring through it all. Kaz?
I would say Jordan Howard, 18 carries, 84 yards. You know, The frustrating part for me is that the offensive coordinator just doesn't know how to use this kid. And really, the offense should go through him. And you know what? He's not a guy that you should, you know, swing out of the backfield and throw to him necessarily. But you've got to run him more. 18 carries isn't enough when you're when he's averaging almost 4.7 yards a carry. You got to give him the ball more.
One of the bright spots of this year, without a doubt, is Jordan Howard. Weekday mornings, it is everything you need to know. Some things you just need to see. WGN-TV Morning News is Chicago's must-watch morning news. 312-981-7200. We'll hear from the head coach, John Fox, coming on back. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Around the NFL today, the Miami Dolphins win another game. That's six in a row for the Dolphins as they beat the San Francisco 49ers, who stink and are here next week. And that's a huge game, by the way, for the draft, as the Bears are going to be in the top
absolutely.
Four.
Absolutely. If you want to break in, you better lose to the Niners, right?
Right? The one-win Niners coming in. But to just for the record, Adam Gase, who was the offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears, has won six games in a row with Ryan Tannehill and the Dolphins. They're 7-4. Within shouting range of the Patriots in the AFC East.
And Dan, you and I talked about it. I have always admitted that was a misguided judgment by me on Adam Gase. This guy's a flat-out great coach. And what he did with Cutler and then what he's doing down in Miami, I mean, he's a remarkable young coach.
Well, and obviously, we're seeing it pay off. He's reached the team. They're playing physical, and that's a good thing. You know, I noticed Jordan Howard is second in the NFL in yards after contact to, I don't know how to say his name, they're back in Miami, Okoye
right.
or something, what's his
right.
name?
He rushes for over 200 yards two or three times
this
year.
Yeah. And okay, he's a genius, right? He's running a guy that's paying off. Now, you know, twice this year we have won. What are those two wins? What single thing do those two wins have in common, OB? Both times in those games, we ran the ball with our running back at least 23 times.
Right.
It seems pretty simple, doesn't it? We ran the ball 23 times and beat Detroit. We ran the ball 23 times and beat – who the heck
– It's been so long, I can't remember who we beat. Who did we beat?
It was Detroit – and Minnesota.
Minnesota. Duh. Right.
Yeah. I mean, and that seemed like 2 months ago.
Which, by the way,
2 weeks ago. But ultimately, you, and you know, we just hit that before we went to break. You would think a back that's averaging at 5 yards a carry, hey, I'd buy that all day. Give him the ball. It is what it is.
Let's get a couple calls in here. We'll hear from John Fox after we talk to Adam Hogue in about 5 minutes. Okay. Well, Hamp is.
Hey, it's Thanksgiving weekend. It's a Fox-free radio station.
Hamp's building the wall on Fox. Bob in a car. You've been waiting an hour. You want to talk about Matt Barkley? Go ahead, Bob.
I was very really surprised that he did that well, and I really wasn't expecting the Bears to do anything today. I really had very low expectations, so I was actually, you know, I mean, there was a lot of mistakes. You know, there's a lot of things that were wrong with the game, but I was very surprised that they did real well. And also, you were making a mention of a picture of John Fox when he was in college, I guess. It showed Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High next to him. And when he wants his job next year and, you know, he wants to stay there, he could talk to Mr. Hand because he's not going to – anybody in their right mind would get rid of this guy. And then one other thing, you probably didn't get it, but catch of it, but the game was partially sponsored by Butterfingers candy bars today.
So it was fitting. Awesome.
Thank you, Bob.
Good point, Bob.
By the way, me bringing up the Fox picture with Spicoli, I just thought it was odd. John Fox, or anybody, by the way, when they're young, you're entitled to do whatever you want. It just seemed bizarre to me. That why would you pick up a high school picture of John Fox basically living the Jeff Spicoli lifestyle and put it on.
Hear that? It's my skull.
It was really just, it just seemed weird to me. Hey, Mike in Rockford, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Happy belated Thanksgiving to all you guys. You're great. I love you.
Thank you, Mike.
I gotta tell you, guys, it's a blessing. The Bears lost. Don't get mad at me about this. I'm glad they lost because I'm looking at a draft pick. But I saw some shine out of some guys that needed to shine. And I think Barkley could definitely be a solid backup for next year, if not a starter. And I obviously they have to address the quarterback situation in the draft. But, guys, I want to ask you one quick question in your opinion. If they keep Cutler, do you know what they'd have to pay him to keep him one more year? Because I just think if they go in next year without a quarterback, where do they go from that direction as far as trying to keep him? And I just think they can't go into the season without a starting quarterback, guys. And then one other comment I want to say. With the 7-8 team that should not have been in the championship, my nephew goes to Fenwick, and he was severely disappointed. And I got to tell you guys something. I think it was a disgrace what the IHSA did. And I really think that the coach from Plainfield should have forfeited. And as a sportsmanship gesture, they know they didn't win that game. And that's just my opinion, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike, we're going to address that situation. So hang in there on the radio, and we're going to address it, believe me.
And if Cutler is kept next year, he gets paid $16 million. They can cut him for $2 million.
This is the time to cut him loose at the end of this year. But the problem is they don't have a plan. And I have talked about it, Dan. They don't have a guy. Hey, somebody might have fallen into their laps, and his name is Tony Romo, because he is never going to start for the Dallas Cowboys again.
It's a lot of
that
dough.
That kid... No, because he's not going to be paid that dough next year to back up Prescott.
Right, but if you're...
They have to cut him loose.
Right, but if you're trading for him, it's a $20 million
cap. No. That's not what I said to do, Mark.
What do you want to do?
You pick him up because he is going. I believe...
You think they're
going
to cut him?
You have to let him go because he will never see the field again in Dallas. This is a rookie quarterback that is head and shoulders better. I think he's going to be available. He's a guy that you could look at that could put you in a new trajectory than the Jay Cutler.
There's one thing wrong with that. He can't stay healthy.
I get it. But either can
offensive
Cutler,
line
and either can Cutler
would put John Elway in the
killed.
Hospital. Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah. Well, and by the way, sir, let me just say this about the Fenwick situation. That is eerie. It's almost like you were listening in to the conference room dialogue that OB and Kaz, that's exactly what they were saying. Please stay tuned because they had some very, very good points on this.
Quick timeout. We'll get into news. Adam Hoge from Soldier Field. That is straight ahead. 720 WGN.
Buckley, end zone, incomplete. My goodness. Off the hands of Bellamy, who drops what appeared to be a sure touchdown.
I've never seen anything like this.
Fourth and goal. Barkley hit on the throw. End zone incomplete. Intended for Thompson. Parrish Cox was there on the coverage. And at least for the moment, the Tennessee Titans can exhale.
Bears fall to the Titans 27-21. Tampa OB with Kaz, brought to you by your local Chevy dealers. And thank you to Mr. Submarine. Good food, a tasty price, Mr. Submarine. Visit MrSubmarine.com. Make that dive into deliciousness. Thank you.
You read it so well.
Thanks, Kaz. Hey, Adam Hoge, I have on good authority, kind of like you today, Kaz, with your Mr. Sub, you didn't drop anything. Hoge was able to keep his entire plate at Soldier Field in the press room.
I never drop my Mr. Subs.
I mean,
I catch him.
He didn't drop a morsel of food. The Adam Hoge Locker Report, sponsored by CJ Wilson Mazda, online at ZoomZoomNation.com. The injury report brought to you by the Rogers Auto Group in the New South Loop. Adam, did you injure yourself or drop anything while you were eating your lunch at Soldier Field today?
No drops for me. Did you buy your Matt Barkley jersey yet?
He was just, I told Adam, I told Mark to open up saying that he found the new quarterback that could replace Jay Cutler.
the guy with the 72.8 quarterback rating.
Hey, OB sitting here, you got to talk to OB.
He said quality backup. That's exactly what he said. Don't put words in his mouth.
But OB wants him on the team, Adam Hogue.
Well, that's fine, yeah. I mean, sure. Well, first of all, let's see what this guy can do in the next few weeks, as Cutler is probably still going to be out, and let's see how it continues to go against teams that aren't playing prevent in the fourth quarter. Look, even Matt Barkley in the post game today was very clear that he was able to get into a rhythm once the Titans corner started playing off, and the routes that were being run by his wide receivers were much easier. It was much easier for them to get open, and he was seeing them a lot better. Now, let's still give him credit. He was throwing some great balls. I saw enough talent to justify keeping him on this roster, sure, but I mean, look, there's still a big difference between Matt Barkley and the guy on the other sideline who was throwing just beautiful passes today and has not. Marcus Mariota, still in 24 starts, has not thrown a single red zone interception. Matt Barkley, in his first NFL start today, threw two of them.
Yeah, one of them, the receiver didn't come back. But really, they were bad passes, but they looked like what a young guy would normally throw. But nobody's mistaking him for the Tennessee Titans, second pick in the NFL draft either.
Right.
So, look, here's the more concerning part is Jordan Howard, yet again, can run the football. 18 carries, 84 yards, 4.7 yard average. Yet he doesn't have 25 carries. It's really, and I get they got behind, but they just do not take advantage of pounding the football with a kid that clearly can run, and then they have him in passing situations. How many more times do we have to watch him drop a walk-in touchdown in the flats before you take him out on those situations?
Yeah, of all the guys that had drops today, and pretty much everyone had drops, Jordan Howard, I think, is the most concerning because he's a guy that I think you're going to want to build around. I mean, certainly you don't want to see Josh Bellamy dropping an easy touchdown in the final seconds. I thought Deontay Thompson should have caught the ball. He had on fourth and goal, even
yes.
if he was sort of on the ground. It still hit him in the hands, catch the ball. But those are not guys you're building around. Those are not guys that are going to be around here for long. Jordan Howard is a running back who you think you have found, a guy who you think is going to be on the field a lot. But to be able to be on the field for all three downs in the NFL, you need to not only be able to run the football, but you also need to be able to pass protect and catch the football. And obviously in the last 2 weeks, that has been a big problem for Jordan Howard. So there's still some things that he needs to do. And I agree with you. I said at halftime, he had 10 carries, was averaging 5.9 yards per carries on the ground at halftime. I said, look, even though they're behind, it's inexcusable if he doesn't get the 20 carries in this football game, and he finished with 18. So I still think there could have been a little bit more balance. Matt Barkley throwing the ball 54 times is less than ideal, although a lot of those came at the end when you were down 20 in the fourth quarter.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Obi.
Well, here's the thing. If you bring him back and run him and start the running game to open up the third quarter, all right, what you also are doing, you're setting up the play action and the bootleg with play action and a sprint out. You're setting that all up. So I'm like Glenn, I'd love to see him come out and have Howard bang away, bang away, bang away, and then try to go down deep, try to score, try to get some points on the board. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, it opens up the play action, too.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
Yep. Adam,
yeah,
your thoughts?
I agree. I think the I don't have a problem throwing the ball in the fourth, but I agree with you guys. In the third, there could have been more balance. Too many passes from Barkley at that point, especially when you had already seen him throw some of the passes that he did and to have two red zone interceptions in this football game. It just wasn't good. So, yeah, I agree with you completely on that point.
Well, Adam, is that, you know, if you look at, you know, the teams that have the great records, you know, they'll fire the ball. Why? Because they have quality people. They have quality linemen that keep your quarterback upright, and they got receivers that can get separation and can catch the ball. So that's what you're looking at here.
How about injuries, Adam? You had your middle linebacker leave. How serious is that? What are they saying out of the locker room?
Yeah, it's very serious. John Fox actually came clean on that one and said that Danny Chervais had suffered a serious right knee injury. So he's probably done for the year. They'll have an MRI to confirm it, but it's not looking good. If there's any positive from that diagnosis, this guy has had serious problems in the past with his left knee, two fractures, a dislocation in his left knee. So at least it's not that side again, because that could have been something that becomes more chronic down the line. Of course, you don't want to see a guy ever go out with a what looks like a season-ending knee injury, but that's another big blow for the Bears.
Adam, was it an ACL or MCL, do you think? What were they guessing?
Oh, probably ACL. When he says serious, I'm guessing. They need to have the MRI to confirm, but I don't think they would call it MCL serious, because he probably could have returned from that later.
Well, no, MCLs, though, I mean, you ripped the MCL apart. You're done for 12 weeks, right? I mean, again, he walked off, and so that's why I was wondering, because usually a ACL, you're usually not going to be able to walk off like that.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll find out which ligament it is tomorrow once they have the MRI. But either way, when John Fox even mentions anything being serious, because you guys know he doesn't usually do that, when he comes out and says that, usually means the guy's out for the year.
Anybody else? Any other big injuries?
That was it. You know, the only other big question we had injury-wise was Eddie Royal not being on the field late in the game when you have all these young wide receivers who haven't really done much. Was that because of the toe? And John Fox didn't want to answer that, give that away. Now, my guess is actually maybe a little bit had to do with the toe. But look, you're at this point, you need to evaluate the talent on your football team. You know what Eddie Royal is. I mean, I'm sure you want to win this football game, but I'm sure they wanted to see what these young guys could do in crunch time. And obviously a lot of them let Matt Barkley down in this game.
Yeah, who would you keep? I mean, look, it was for all the goodwill that Meredith had garnished over the first, last couple of weeks, he was probably the worst at securing the ball today.
Yeah, he has really fallen off. He had those, stretch of three or four good games with Brian Hoyer under center, and really ever since Hoyer got hurt, he's fallen off. But, I think that's a matter of teams adjusting to him and kind of bringing extra coverage his way, especially with other guys out like Alshon Jeffery and Kevin White. But, for nine targets for him and only two catches, that's kind of been a theme in recent weeks, and that's actually concerning, because that was one of the guys who I think you would look at a few weeks ago and say, oh, yeah, they're going to try to develop him and keep him around here. Otherwise, I guess Marquise Wilson, 8 catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown is positive. But this guy's in his fourth year now. He also had a couple drops. He dropped a touchdown late in the game as well. To answer your question, I don't think Deontay Thompson and Josh Bellamy are guys that are, you're going to rely on to start games offensively. They're special teamers. So, I think Meredith and maybe Marquise Wilson are the guys that maybe you keep around and see what they can do. But you got to do a lot better than that. This is still, Alshon Jeffery, and you're hoping Kevin White develops.
Hey, one last thing before we let you go. I want you to know that Mark Carman has basically said since Fox went for the onside kick to start the second half, he earns his job for next year.
This is the best call he's made all season, Hogue.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, you like that one? Well, it's just good that Robbie Gould's not here, right? So that
As soon as it happened, I turned to Kaz and I said, another reason not to miss Robbie Gould. And by the way, I don't know the last time this happened, but again, it was against, a Titan defense. It was kind of mailing it in. Their corners are lame anyway, and, of course, they basically backed them off in the second half. But all three touchdown drives by the Bears today were of at least 13 plays. There was a 13, a 14, and a 13-play drive. That tells me that somehow, some way, Matt Barkley and Dow Loggins were enough on the same page to sustain drives. That's a good thing. Moving forward at 2-9, we're trying to find a little bit of a glimmer of hope here.
Yeah, Matt Barkley gave Dow Loggins a lot of credit after the game for his play calling today. And Yeah, that's why I don't want to crush Barkley too much and point to the Titans D backing off. It's certainly just reality what happened, but you still got to take advantage. The play calling was good enough. The execution was good enough. But since I know you guys do like to, you know, to evaluate John Fox, did you guys realize the timeout he called right before the 2-minute warning was a completely useless and needless timeout?
Yes, I know. 6 seconds. Yeah,
yes,
another,
I know.
another foolish Fox flub.
Because you're punting on you're getting a change of possession there. You don't waste the 2-minute warning on a change of possession. That's an extra timeout. And so instead, Matt Barkley had zero timeouts to work with. Instead, he would have had one. What are you doing?
Did you ask him about that?
No, it didn't come up after the game.
Yeah, it's so documented now that he's such a poor time management guy that what's the point? It's like pouring, you know, spilling milk over and over again.
Yeah.
I will say this though, Adam. I don't understand how you can have a roster full of wide receivers that can't catch the football. I mean, that's almost criminal.
I mean,
you didn't even know what to say on that, right? I mean,
it's speechless.
There's so many. It's not like you're looking for a franchise quarterback. He's got to run around. Mark Carmen made a catch. He hurt his shoulder. He hasn't played since, but
phenomenal catch.
He could catch the ball too. This is something that you would think pretty much anybody that played football should be able to do.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, sorry about that, guys. I was needlessly getting kicked out of a room I should be able to stand in, so sorry about the silence.
Oh, okay. But it threw me off. I had to keep going.
Yeah, I know. Look, bad performance by his wide receivers, but I think we got to keep in, these are guys that were running out in your second and fourth preseason games earlier in the year, right? Guys that you weren't really hoping. But this is still the NFL, and they're here. They're wearing a Bears jersey. Catch the football.
I'm watching guys in Oakland. They run five deep, and every one of those receivers can catch the ball, so it doesn't make sense to me.
Adam,
anyway.
Adam, will read you at WGNradio.com. Appreciate it, my brother.
All right, see you guys.
Adam Hogue out at Soldier Field getting kicked out of rooms that he should not be getting kicked out of. Yes, OB?
You know, well, I just want to say one little thing here. You know, we're a team that is 2-9. 2 victories, 9 losses, most of them ugly. And here is the situation. We have so many things going wrong. And it's to sit here and on the show and all we do is fire out negative after negative after negative. But there's nowhere to go with this, folks. There's nowhere. Not a running game, a passing game. We're getting out coached. We're getting out played. And that's all the way through. That's from Pace on down. That's our college scouts, our pro scouts. Everybody's getting involved. And this is where we are, 2-9. And it's hard to be positive. It really is, folks.
Especially when you're outfoxed before the game kicks off.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
Three, one, two.
I'm watching this kid Holmes on the Raiders. He'd be the main starter for us, and he struggles to get on the field. This kid right now is better than any receiver we have on the team.
312-981-7200. I have a fascinating stat for you coming on back. Fascinating, OB. You're going to love it. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
.720 WGN. Bears lose the Titans 27-21. You ready for this stat? The Bears dropped 10 balls today officially. At least according to Pro Football Focus, the king of all stats.
Oh yeah, for sure then.
Pro Football Focus started in 2006. How many teams have dropped 10 balls in a game since 2006?
None.
I'll go out and say zero.
That is correct. The most that's happened in the last decade, the Chicago Bears today.
That little Tommy Bottle was right on the money when he said he's never been around a game of any consequence from junior high to the NFL where he had seen
that
so
many,
many
drops.
Blatant drops.
And
these weren't circus catches.
There's
in their gut.
An answer for this. There is an answer. in the damn training camp and exhibition season, and I'll say it again because it just happens to be the truth. That's why you play those exhibition games for a receiver and a quarterback, to get his breaks correct, to get the timing down. We don't even play these guys. We start a kid at center, the first league game, that never played the position. And you wonder why the hell we are like where we are?
Yeah, I will say this. So now you're at 2-11, 2-9, and you got San Francisco coming in, and you're jockeying for a draft choice, unfortunately.
What, San Francisco to one of the worst teams in the league, right? Well,
they are.
Basically, we played, just today we played a team with a losing record.
Yeah, but I'm getting at, Ed, is, you know, truthfully, I'm running out all those droppers and throwing the ball around and see what happens, because quite frankly, it's almost
yeah, but
like
then, Glenn,
the
what are you
going
to do?
Right?
You're going to go to training camp with the same coaching staff?
No.
And then when you get into the training period, you don't do anything. You don't do anything to get ready for the exhibition season, and you don't get ready for the league. Is that going to happen again?
You know what bothers me, Ed, in this? No, you're right.
That's everything common
you're
sense.
Saying, everything you're saying is right. And if what Dan is telling us about Adam Pace, or what's his name?
Ryan Pace,
then shame on Ryan Pace, because it's time now that you step forward. You're the general manager. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. Take this by the horns and make this your team, because this coaching staff doesn't deserve to be out on the National Football League field right now.
I'll go one step a little further, Glenn. What they better do, ownership here, and Pace better take a look at our scouts, our college scouts, and our pro scouts. Those are the guys that are coming with mounds and mounds of information about college kids and about pro people and other teams.
Yeah,
okay?
I could tell you right now.
And this is the mess you come up with.
That wouldn't have dropped that many balls.
When that season's over with, you know who's coming in there? I want the pro and college scouts in my office.
I wouldn't wait till the end of the season. I'd do it.
I'd start doing it right now
and say, why did I draft a wide receiver with the fifth pick in the first round that has now broken his leg twice? Why did I draft a defensive lineman that weighs 220 pounds and ducks his head and knocks himself out? Okay,
we got one more to go. And why did I draft a kid to play? He played tackle in college, and you drafted him to play guard. And the first league game, he starts at center, never playing the damn position. That's another why.
You're exactly right. But here's the point. As long as Fox is here, Pace will never be able to exert himself.
That's what I'm saying.
Properly.
He needs to exert himself. Get
George
rid of Fox.
George McKeskey, it's time to throw the Fox out of the hen house.
And let the young guy go.
Let the young guy make the decisions.
If in fact you're correct, Dan, that Fox rules over Pace.
He does.
You really got a bad management coaching situation in the Chicago Bears. That's not how it works.
Okay, one last thing. As good as the defense has played this year through injuries, they're 10th in the league. There's the backdoor rumors now about Fangio's not doing his job properly. I wonder where that's starting. Think about that. The one guy on the staff that would be competent and suitable as an interim head coach is now being
questioned,
getting his legs cut out from under.
312-981-7200. 1 hour to go. Lot to do.
We're going
to
stir up more.
720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
1 hour to go here, 720 WGN. Bears fall to the Tennessee Titans, 27-21. Let's do the drive of the game, guys. Drive of the game sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Click patrickcars.com. Kaz, you want to jump in there on a drive of the game?
Well, I would say probably the last drive. They went, 60-something yards and had two drop balls in the end zone to lose the game, but it was quite the drive. I think the entire fourth quarter, Dan, they, like you pointed out, 12, 13 plays on each drive. So I would say the last drive of the game, even though it didn't turn out to be the game winner, it was impressive to get down the field with no timeouts and a minute 25 on the clock.
And pray tell why there were no timeouts.
Because John Fox used his timeout on the change of possession before the two-minute warning.
Another Fox flub.
So let's take a slight timeout from the Bears, because we can always get back to them before we get out here at 6. Hot topic this week in the football world actually came from high school football. I had a couple shows this week, one overnight show, and was doing yesterday afternoon, and talked extensively about Plainfield North and Fenwick. And I walk in today, and you guys are talking about Plainfield North and Fenwick. And OB, you asked me, what did I think, what should happen? And my take on it was that if I was Plainfield North, and I was the head coach, Tim Kaine, I wouldn't want to play in a championship game that I absolutely 100% knew that I didn't deserve to be in. And I also felt like, or would hope that I would feel like I have an obligation to the kids that I am coaching, to the kids that I am teaching, to the kids that I am trying to build into young men, that, hey, winning is really important, but your integrity is actually even more important, and we're not going to take something that's not ours.
Because
you're a high school coach.
Well, I was up until this last year, and part of why I was losing my cookies for the last 14 years is exactly what happened. Referees not knowing the high school rules. And this isn't a knock on referees, because I think, again, Ed, we've talked about it. To be a ref, you're a cut above, you're different. But they don't know the rules. Part of the reason they don't know the rules is because they're not paid enough, and they're not asked to really learn the rules and be held accountable for it. The problem is the system is messed up.
That should not have been taken away from Fenwick.
No, 100%.
Because of what you're saying.
And you know, character and integrity. Everybody builds their programs around character and integrity. Character and integrity shows at that moment when you do the right thing and you know you're going to catch a lot of grief for doing the right thing. The right thing was to say
okay,
we didn't win
the
game.
Okay, by the way, Carm, you didn't tell the listeners. A lot of folks are not aware of what happened.
Yeah,
Plainfield North was playing Fenwick, and there was
for the right to go to the championship game down in Champaign-Urbana.
The last play of the game, essentially.
Yeah, so here, to recap it, if you somehow missed the story, good point, Ham. There was 4 seconds to go.
Fourth down.
Fenwick had the football. They needed to kill 4 seconds. So the coach's idea was to have the quarterback drop back and throw the ball sky high, let the time run out.
Which it did. And
that's exactly what happened. And the ball landed at about the 50-yard line. There were no wide receivers there. So the officials called intentional grounding. The rule is, you do not get an extra down once time expires.
In high school.
It's a high school rule.
Right.
The officials did not know that rule. They awarded an extra down to Plainfield North. So it was fourth down. So you get
An untimed down.
And they got possession at about the 10-yard line, whatever it was.
20-yard line.
They kicked a field goal.
To tie it.
It was a 10-7 game. They kicked the field goal to tie it. And then in overtime, Fenwick ends up scoring a touchdown, but Plainfield North gets a possession. They go down, score, go for two, get it, and they end up going down to state. So the game, if they had known the rules, the officials had known the rules, the game was absolutely 100% over, but they didn't know the rules. They awarded the extra down. Plainfield North kicked a field goal. They went to overtime, and the wrong team ended up going down state, if you missed the story.
That is something that never, never should have taken place. Never should have taken place. These referees, I'm sure it wasn't their first rodeo, okay?
You would hope not, right?
Yeah, and let me tell you, I feel so sad for Gene Nudo. He's been at Fenwick now for quite some time, and they had a shot at their first state championship ever in the history of that school. And to have that taken away from you by, I believe, are there 5 refs?
Yes, in high school.
They have it taken away by 5 refs. Now, here's my point. People have asked me since that game has taken place, I couldn't tell you how many people, NOB, they would say, what do you think? What happened? What do you think should happen, if anything, or whatever? Here's my take on it. The Illinois High School Athletic Association better take a long, long, hard look at that situation. Okay? When you're playing a game, and who wins it goes down to Champaign-Urbana to play for the state championship, you better have the best refs that are out there. Now, that particular, what we talked about, fourth down came up with 4 seconds to go. You mean to tell me, in this day and age, that five referees did not know the rules?
One did, and he got overruled, correct, Mark?
That's worse yet.
That's what I was told.
Right. Well, that's what you were told.
If in fact, Mark, that's worse yet. That is absolutely, that is something that should never, ever, ever have happened. How could these gentlemen not know the rules of the game and let it end the way it ended? Now, I'm not quite sure. I talked to a lot of people on what should be done to that refereeing crew, okay? They should never referee again. It should be 5 years, whatever. All I can tell is that the Illinois High School Athletic Association, they better not tiptoe through the tulips on this one. Fenwick won that football game, period. They won it. And they had it taken away because of five people, for whatever their reason or reasons, didn't know the rules.
Unfortunately,
that's what happened.
It's been that way. I've been, like I said, 14 years, and that is my biggest complaint.
Let me just finish. And so, guys, you know, I just mentioned that they should be suspended for 5 years or never be able to ref a game again. What I said was the Illinois High School Athletic Association, they better step in. They better do something. And the guy said, well, OB, what would you do? I said, well, I'll tell you what. I would suspend them for a year. That's what I would do. You can't let this happen and let something
only,
like this.
There's only 16 games that weekend. Those are the 16 best teams in the state playing. It should be hard to find the 16 best
teams. I don't care how you –
right?
If you're a Fenwick fan, the other team, it doesn't matter. It's what is right is right. And that happened. And when you have referees that don't know the rules of the game – that falls under, are you kidding me? How'd you like to be a coach, Glenn, opening up next year, and you had that refereeing crew?
I've had that before, Ed, so trust me. This has made my head spin because, quite frankly, not only are you cheating the game, but the kids, but you're putting people at risk. If you don't know the rules on that, you probably don't know what a hold is. You probably don't know what a chop block is. You probably don't know what high-low is. It's concerning, and there's no way to really police
that. That was my take on it. But there's I said before, suspended for 5 years, fired, never allow them on a football field.
They just don't
Everybody
pay
had
enough,
all
though,
their different
honestly.
Answers. That was my answer to it.
Yeah, but
Danny, you were going to say something.
Well, hold on a second. I mean, I think we all agree that the ref should know the rules, and that's fine. You want to suspend them for a year, 5 years, never let him ref again.
Everybody had their opinion. Everybody had different opinions.
Right, but I'm just saying, after the fact, and you're Plainfield, you're the head coach of Plainfield. You're the AD at Plainfield. You're the principal at Plainfield. Are you going to go downstate and play East St. Louis like you played yesterday? They lost. Are you taking that? Are you saying, you know, this is good with us? Yeah, those refs messed up, but so we're going to go. I mean, is that the image you want of your high school?
Personally, I wouldn't. And that's me answering. And I'm answering honestly. And that doesn't make it a popular answer, per se, because I'm smart enough to know that probably would cost you your job if you made that decision as a coach. But again, that's character and integrity, isn't it? To do something that you know is right?
Haven't you done stuff like that, Kaz, to actually where you've actually...
I would never.
Did you pull your team off the field or something?
No. But I could never take my team down to the state championship game, knowing I didn't win the game. I didn't win the game. How do you rally the troops behind that concept? And that's not my question to answer. That's the coach in Plainfield, and he's made it pretty clear it doesn't bother him. So that's good. I'm not going to judge him on that. I'm just giving you my opinion on it.
All right, we're going to get to the phones because I'm sure some listeners have some different points. I just want to say one thing: the Illinois
High School Athletic Association.
Okay. They don't need to wait and beat around the bush. They need to come out Monday, that'd be tomorrow morning, and say, this is what's going to happen. There is going to be people held to account. Because at some point, if there is no repercussions, you know, I know, everybody's going to say, are you kidding me? It's all corrupt. There has to be somebody held accountable.
They have to.
Yeah, they have to. The second thing is, we got a head coach that's doing a horrible job of coaching, and he still gets paid, and nobody says nothing to him.
That's a good point.
That.
Good point.
Hampton will be sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. And remember, learn how real Chicagoans live the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on WGN-TV. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. People want to talk about Plainfield North and Fenwick, which is, I think people are going to want to talk about this till the end of time, which is cool. 312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz.
That, you know, Mark, that's why something has to be done about it. They have to put an end to this.
Well,
okay, you can't let this linger on and nothing happen.
Something
that unbelievably. I mean, I can't even find a word for that call.
Well, they went to court, OB, and Fenwick tried to get it overturned.
Yeah, but that's not going to work. I mean, the guidelines
the rule
are pretty
is
clear.
That it doesn't
yeah.
matter. Right. Whatever the final thing is it. But that really
the bigger
isn't
issue
it.
Is what? How do you fix it moving forward?
Exactly.
It'll be interesting if they do. I don't expect to hear anything from the IHSA. That's just me.
No, but you're probably right. It's not a big organization.
That would be a huge mistake.
I would agree.
Huge. To see something that unbelievable happen and five guys and nobody knows the rules.
Hard to believe. There should absolutely
in
be.
In a semifinal game where literally if all of them played on that night, there's only 16 games yeah. throughout the state of Illinois.
And one more thing to add
that's
on
the most
that.
Ridiculous
the
part.
Majority of those kids will never suit up again.
Right, right, right.
They'll never suit up again. And that's what they've been doing since Pop Warner all the way up to that. And that happens to them. They'll never suit up again. Man.
Hurts, right? Hey, Kevin in Flossmore, you want to talk about the IHSA? Be quick, my man.
Hey, I will be quick. I love your guys' show. It keeps me sane after the Bears. All right, so I've been very much attuned to IHSA. What really happens, guys, is your great points of would they send the best people out there that know every facet of the game? Unfortunately, what happens, not just football, with IHSA, they go and evaluate people based on who's been there the longest, who they know, what their connections are, and
yep.
things like that.
Yep.
So, unfortunately, they don't put the best people out there, and this is the result.
Assignment chairs get to put their buddies in.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're right, Kevin. 100% correct.
312.
Hey, Kevin, if you're correct and Glenn's correct.
Well, I can tell you, Ed, I've had to rate these referees for 14 years. So,
Kevin's correct and Glenn, you're correct. Let me tell you something. This system is really fouled up. Something has to be
it
done
stinks.
About this.
You're right. It
drain
smells
the swamp
bad.
At the IHSA.
Tom in Downers Grove, go ahead.
Hey, guys, love you guys. Hey, Kaz, all I got to say, and believe me, guys, I've never been a ref, but, you know, Kaz, you said something, and like I said, I love you, Kaz, but you said something, if they didn't know that rule, which I think nobody knew that rule, they obviously can't.
I knew that rule.
Rule.
Tom,
well,
I knew it.
Mostly people. Yeah, but you just but to say.
But I am a I'm a head coach in football, so I should know the rule.
No,
right?
I understand that. I understand right. it. But the fact is you said, well, obviously they don't know what blocking is, illegal blocking is. How did you say that, though?
Because I've coached for 14 years and I've seen it week in and week out, and every week it changes. That's why I say it.
Well, I don't know. That was a little straight, but I love you, Kaz. I love you.
Thank
guys.
You. No, I'm not. Look, I'm not demeaned. Understand one thing.
Thanks, Tom.
I believe most referees. I believe 99% of these refs go into every game trying to do the very best job they can. The problem is they're not paid enough, and they're not trained enough, and that's what you get. That's the real issue: lack of training, lack of money, and that's something that can be fixed. It's not that hard.
You mean to tell me that system is that bad?
Yes, I'm telling you, it's that bad.
Trust is everything. It's golden. For your insurance needs, it's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich.
Vuk!
JeffVuk.com, serving our area for 38 years. Nationwide is on your side, JeffVuk.com. We'll continue this and give you a little bit more Bears reaction as well, quarterback comparison and all. That's straight. Yes.
Let's stay on this.
Okay,
this
fine.
Is better.
Okay.
This is a better topic.
All right, you want to jump on in? 312-981-7200. We're with you till 6. 312-981-7200 on 720 WGN.
back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Hey, when the Bears are 2-9, you never know what's going to happen. So we're talking some high school football today. That's what's going on. Plainfield and Fenwick. OB, you comfortable with this? You missing your Bear talk right now?
No. Yeah, I'm comfortable with it because I tell you what, ever since that took place, that outcome, I mean, that's, I've been hearing it 24/7.
Yeah.
I mean, and everybody's got a take on it. Plainfield North, Fenwick, it's 6-1, half a dozen the other, but I tell you what, most of the people that talk seem to believe that that should not have taken place, and Fenwick out and out won the football game, and that's something that never should have happened.
You all want to talk to an IHSA ref? Mike in Aurora is calling in here, says he's a referee. Mike, welcome to WGN. Yeah. Go ahead, man.
I just wanted to say is that all the officials that in the Chicagoland area do extensive training, extensive testing. We meet constantly with other state officials. So we're pretty much up on top of our game. If this was a mistake that happened, well, it happened. But I'm just wanting to let you know that we are go through extensive training.
Hey, Mike, I'm trying to get you paid more, I mean, and you're going to fight me on
it? I believe what you're saying, you know, and I understand that. But boy, when it comes down to this situation with the crew, and you got to look at the whole totality of it all. You got to look at these kids. This could be their last game, and they fought to get there since they were a little pup, and have something like this taken away because five gentlemen didn't know what the hell the rule was.
Hey, Mike, if Plainfield had decided they didn't want to play the game, I'm hearing that no game would have been played. Fenwick couldn't have gone. Is that accurate?
That I don't know. That's all up to the ADs,
that ruling on it. I mean, you know, look.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Again, though, you know, to tell us that you're well-trained, I believe that, except for five guys that were in the semifinal game were not well-trained.
Four of them were.
Well, I could only say, you know, what I know to be true. There was five officials. Mark's telling me it might have.
No, you said one guy knew the rule, but
Mark
he
said
was overruled.
Yeah, Mark said it.
That's what I was told. Let's get Bob in Elmhurst. He wants to talk refs knowing rules. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, guys. I just want to let you know that I love your passion, but I think OB is way off base on this topic about the referees.
Let me tell you something. It's not me. I'm trying to explain something to you. I'm not way off base. I'm telling you, I've been talking about this. People have been talking to me about this since it happened. And everybody's got their opinion of what should happen for on either side of the ball or whatever have you. And my point is that something has to be done one way or the other. The Illinois Athletic High School Association. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I have no affiliation with the IHSA, although I know a lot of refs. And the IHSA has a shortage of referees.
You know what? I don't want to hear that because that's not true. Because I've heard this for 20 years, and I know a lot of young guys, including a lot of my – I raised four sons in the state of Illinois that played high school football. And I know a lot of my sons' friends who have tried to become referees, and they don't get the opportunity to ref. So don't tell me there's a shortage. There's a shortage of the guys that they want to ref.
So then you're saying that the coaches evaluate the refs after every game.
Yes, they do.
And supposedly the top crews advance, and this was a semifinal game, and the IHA is just going to play favorites of who they want refereeing the game?
We're not saying that at all. What we're saying is they should have put referees in that knew the rules. It's pretty simple.
You said 10 minutes ago the assignment crews have their buddies and they give the games to their buddies. So what is it now? Now, let me say one other thing.
It's both.
Why didn't the Fenwick High School coach, Nudo, know the rule himself?
I can't answer that. I don't know that, but I know that rule.
Bob, what's your point, Bob?
So if you don't know the rules, then it's okay. So life's okay.
No, no.
Even though you don't know the rules, life's okay because you didn't know the rules.
Here's my point. I think Mark Carmen had the best point of all four of you gentlemen.
Well, now you're on to something.
I don't know how Plainfield North could have taken that field in good conscience. If you're a high school coach, you are an educator first, and you are supposed to teach character and integrity
yes.
and values.
Yes, that's
and
my
think,
opinion, too.
Kaz said the same thing, Bob.
I said the same thing.
So Fenwick lost the game. They lost the ruling. It was a mistake. Referees make mistakes all the time. So the kids have to learn this and move on and say life is not always fair.
All right,
and
Bob.
You're right. But to say that a crew should be suspended for a year,
I didn't say that, Mike.
Okay.
I didn't say that, Mike.
We got you, Bob. Thank you, man. I just want to get some more people in here.
That didn't make much sense. Somebody needs to pay a price.
When you talk and somebody doesn't get it, can't understand it.
Well, he was going
to. That was a multitude
well,
of
no
people that came
do,
up with every scenario you could
right.
think of. My God.
Let's all take a deep breath.
I don't understand the thought process. What Ed is saying is, look, that shouldn't have happened. That's all everybody's saying. That shouldn't have happened. With 16 games in the state of Illinois and probably 8-8 or 10-6 played in 2 days, shouldn't have happened.
His point is take it easy on the refs. They're human. I think that's his point. And, yeah. All right.
We do get that.
Right.
Everybody understands that.
All right, Phil.
I didn't get the part where he said Carmen made the most sense.
I thought that was great. I mean, that was understand.
Well, clearly you're the only guy that said that, right?
But see, I thought he was going to back it up with something that I said unique, and then he backed up with something we've all said. So
it's not what we said. It's what I have told you that I cannot tell you the amount of people that have talked about that game and what happened in that game. And everybody has Plainfield North to whatever to do to them or with Fenwick, whatever to do to them. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
Everybody's got different thoughts of what should happen.
I don't think it should have went to court. I don't think that should have happened.
I agree.
That was
over the top. We all agree on that.
But I think what LB's saying is there's a certain finality to this that rings so sour to so many people.
Right.
Yep. And I keep on bringing up one scenario. In 2009, DeKalb was playing basketball. They're playing against a kid who had lost his mom the day of the game. He wasn't expected to be at the game. Kid shows up. It's a basketball game. He's not written into the scorebook. They put him into the game, right? This kid was his mom. He lost his mom earlier in the day. They didn't expect him to be there. He's not in the scorebook. They put him in the game. Well, that's a technical foul, okay? What does DeKalb do? They miss the two free throws on purpose because they're not going to take 2 points from a kid who lost his mom, who wasn't in the scorebook on some ridiculous rule. Like, it's not letter of the law, it's spirit of the law. And in this case, Plainfield, it's a bigger thing, I get it. But are you really going to go down and play in the state championship when you know you lost?
Well, and you know what? Each individual has to answer that for themselves, right? You and I both know. We know that, again, because there's going to be both sides of it. And most of the time, if you make that decision as a coach, you probably lose your job for making that decision.
Now, if you make that statement,
it's a tough
you
decision.
Imagine the people out there.
Too bad.
What is he talking about?
Well, too bad.
Tell our coach and our players we should have forfeited and not gone and let Fenwick go.
That's why
you can't get anywhere talking about this situation. But it does
Other
have
than,
to be talked
let's
about.
Let's find a way to correct this moving forward, that you have a crew that knows the rules and can make this game
How
play
about
out
Siri?
To the best of their best
hey,
of their
Siri,
ability.
Hey, Siri, is there an untorn down in high school football?
Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose there's a lot of things, but ultimately, how do you eliminate this from happening again? That's really the question.
Okay,
right?
Okay. Quick timeout. We'll wrap it up talking a little bit more on this and get you ready for the Bears and the 49ers.
I'm coming out of retirement to chase the kneeler next week at Soldier Field.
2-9 versus 1-10. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Let's do our quarterback comparison.
Okay.
Which is sponsored by Westfield Ford. Westfield Ford, we're straightforward people, and straightforward prices are just a whistle away. Let us take a look at Matt Barkley. 28 of 54, 316 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. For the Bears, Marcus Mariota, 15 of 23, 226 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, a quarterback rating of 126.4. Hey, Hamp, how high do you think is up for Marcus Mariota? What do you think of this guy?
Well, hey, let me tell you what I did see today. It's really good decisions. I did not know this. I said this last week. I'll say it again. What's he played now, 27, 8 games as a professional? Well, guess what? He still hadn't thrown an interception in the red zone.
Yeah.
Guess what else? He's got 6 games with at least 4 touchdown passes. So what's the upside? I don't know. I don't think we've seen it yet. He's still young.
He's a you know, the reason he won the Heisman Trophy too.
And Delanie Walker is, I was on the field like, and this guy, he's got a bubble butt, big.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Monstrous. Right. For him to be their leading receiver, be a threat down the field in the middle third is, yeah, I mean, wait till they get some speed on the outside. This offense could really go.
Titans have a very, very outside shot at making the playoffs at 6-6. The Bears have no chance of making the playoffs at 2-9, but it was just kind of fun to say that. 2-9 versus 1-10 next week. Next game preview sponsored by Arlington Heights Ford. Number one in what matters most, you. Hamp, you're the most adamant. I don't want to talk about draft choices. I don't want to talk about anything. But when you've got 2-9 versus 1-10, I mean, it's in your face as to who's drafting second and third. I mean, the Bears are going to be in the top four. How's it going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, basically?
Forget the draft picks. All that takes care of itself. Let me tell you guys something. I was, you know, 2 weeks ago, the Bears come out of nowhere, beat Minnesota on Monday night. How big of a drumbeat would it be to run Fox out of town if they hadn't found a way to show up and magically play well after the week of the consultant? Remember that? Oh, there's a consultant up there snooping around, basically evaluating the coaches and the player. All of a sudden, they come out and play like the Patriots. Well, guess what? All I know is if Fox lets the 49ers come in here and beat us again, remember the – okay, last week there was the 10 worst losses since the last year the Bears made the playoffs, which was 2010. The 10 worst losses – the worst one of them all, guess what? I think it was the one against the 49ers last year where somebody named Blaine Gabbert ran 64 yards up the middle of the field for a touchdown to beat us. So my point is, if that wasn't the deal breaker, getting beat by this bunch of ragtags, that hopefully in my mind would be the deal breaker. So all that being said, OB, hey, go out there and play the game. Get in better stances. Catch the ball. Block somebody. Don't commit penalties. And John Fox, quit calling idiot timeouts.
Dan, you're being entirely too critical.
Yes, he is again.
Entirely too critical, Dan.
Well, you know, you're talking about getting John Fox moved along here, Hamp. I mean, I think it's important to point out that there was 2,000 no-shows today. Or 2,000 seats unsold, right?
Okay. There was over 2,000 tickets that were unpaid for.
So
they couldn't sell them.
So unsold, and then you had...
That's the first time I've ever heard of that.
Yeah.
So, and 59,500 tickets distributed. So actually, it's 63,000. It's like almost 4,000 tickets unsold, empty seats, no takers. And then of that 59,500... there was almost 10,000 no-shows, people that didn't even come with a paid-for ticket.
11,086 tickets unused today.
No-show. 11,000 no-shows. And on pregame this morning.
Now, we have what, 5 games left? How many at home?
5 games left, 3
at home.
3 of them at home.
3 of them at home?
Yep. And by the way, it was nice out today. It wasn't like, you can't say you didn't come.
Yeah.
It was because it was cold.
Yeah, it was nice weather. There was a game in late November, this was a nice day to go.
Right, and I looked on StubHub about an hour before the game. You could have bought 20th row on the 100 level, lowest level, 20 rows from the field. I know football, maybe you want to be a little up a little higher, but whatever. 20th row, 40-yard line, they were going for $70 on StubHub.
Wow.
And that ticket's about a $400 seat.
That's a fire sale. And you know what? The McKeskies... trust me, they're aware of this. And you know what? Even though the Fox facade is still somewhat solid, OB, I'm hoping there's a lot of cracks being, you know, being assessed up at Halas Hall as we speak.
Well, I'll tell you what. this is just like you had mentioned. How many people? I mean, how many 2,000 tickets that they couldn't even
almost
sell?
Almost 4,000 unsold.
I mean, that's I don't remember when the last time I ever heard of anything like that. Holy cow! But you know, you got what, 5 games left, and you talk about maybe that's impossible. They can't throw in a towel. But I'll tell you what, I keep saying it week after week. How do you change it? What do you have to do? You got to be more aggressive. You got to go downfield, and you got to attack. What the heck do you have to lose?
We'll see if anything changes coming up here with the Niners coming in. It'll be interesting to see if Matt Barkley takes another step forward. I guess that's something to pay attention to in
well,
Jordan.
Well, I mean, he should have won the game today.
Well, I'd love to see to beat the 49ers. That Colin Kaepernick, you kidding me?
You guys are all bent on Kapper, huh?
I'm just looking to see improvement from the Bears, and this is a team that is 1-10. They should beat them. They should beat this team.
You know, earlier today I said the core of this team has and always will be thought of as the front seven on defense. This was a game where our front seven on defense did nothing today. And, you know, the offense with the scraps, you know, the second, third, fourth, fifth wide receivers and tight ends, they got us a chance to win late in the game. But our defensive front, they basically were just mauled early. And we've already belabored the fact that, hey, from top to bottom, it's a poorly coached team. We got to make some changes.
Gentlemen, we got to do different things today. Talk a little high school. Got into a little Bears football as well, and a beautiful and a happy Thanksgiving to all of you three.
How right back you. At you, isn't Mark. That nice? And, that, a great catch and still played through it with an injured
well,
shoulder.
Well, we got a wonderful holiday coming up.
This is
Christmas,
true.
That's, and then Happy New Year.
That's right, baby. All right, we'll see you next week at 3 o'clock after the Bears and the 49ers. Brian Noonan up next, 720 WGN.